Hey, I'm Dr. Z and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear FIGS because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your FIGS? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
Welcome to the weekly Life Mint podcast, where we tell you about our favorite stories of the week. I am Preetha Banerjee and I have with me Executive Editor of Mint, Anil Padmanabhan, sharing with you his favorite stories of the week. The story that tops your list of this week's favorites is How Women Marry in India. It's a data-driven story by Tarit Kundu and Deepti Jain. So, what was your reason for liking the story?
See, it tells us very succinctly a sociological transformation in India around gender. Okay, we all know the gender story of India is not something we are very particularly proud about. And this story captures empirically what we know anecdotally. In this story, it tells us that how women are marrying in India. So, arranged marriages still dominate, but the idea of dating before marriage, etc., still not there. But once married, within the marriage, there's far greater freedom. Secondly, they are marrying, which we know from the census data, marrying much later. So, in a sense, women today are being given far freer status in society in India as opposed to previously. So, to me, these are very significant trends. Anecdotally, I see it around me, and a story which captures it empirically, it appeals to me.
And also very interesting data, which when I was reading it, it like really stood out, was that even as in these modern times, like so-called modern times, half of the women between the age of 15 and 32 who got married as of 2011 and 12 did not even have the basic communication with their would-be husbands. I mean, that's really striking.
That's exactly what I was saying, that some things don't change, but something changes. To me, I look at the things that have changed and hope that creates a trigger for the next generation, presumably, to not fall into the same trap that their previous generation was, you know.
Right, it's very interesting. Your next pick, it's a story from Mint on Sunday, from our Sunday edition. It's called The Economics of Raghuram Rajan by Roshan Kishore. And ever since Raghuram Rajan announced that he will not continue as the governor of RBI, there's been the internet, it has taken the internet by a storm, and Rexit was trending on the social media. So what was your reason for liking the story?
Oh, this story was a standout for me. I think, if I can stick my neck out, it's the best story that I read in the entire week, because his exit took us by surprise, everybody by surprise, on that weekend when it happened. And we all focused on the fallout and whether he had a run-in with the government of India or whether it was a fallout because of attacks by politicians on him, etc. So everyone was obsessed about the politics of his exit. But overlooking the credentials of an extremely accomplished man, in my view, I think he's a fantastic economist, he's of proven pedigree, his work is public domain. And here we had a piece the next day, you know, on a Sunday, which took a look at all his economic speeches and dwelled on it detail by detail, including his research even before he became governor. So in a sense, it gave me the complete picture of a man who was in the news.
Next one on your list is the one titled Cash Reserves at Auto Firms Touch a 7-Year High. This story talks about how car makers are going to utilize this money to strengthen their R&D departments. Why do you think this story merits to be on this list?
See, this story is actually a very dinky story in terms of a newsroom setup, but it tells us a very important thing about what is wrong with Indian industry today. You see, Indian industry is extremely risk averse, and this auto is one of the biggest manufacturing sectors in the country. And here you have these automobile manufacturers, huge cash reserves. What does it tell you? That they're not investing the money. Yes, it's great news for a shareholder because they're investing it in financial instruments or stock markets and making good returns. But they are not an investment banker. So to me, it tells me a very worrying story about India, about the growing risk averseness of Indian manufacture, and which also points to the future that if this persists, is really bad news for India's growth prospects.
The story that features next on your list is Railways allots first station revamp project to consortium. The story tells us that the Indian Railways has chosen Habibganj station in Madhya Pradesh as the first under its redevelopment project. Why do you think this story is important?
See, this is a project which is actually, to be fair, is not an NDA project. It was something that commenced in the UPA. But NDA has given it a shape and context. And they have said they have chosen 400 stations, which they will revamp. And they've begun with Bhopal. This is actually a pretty historical station. And they decided to begin there with the revamp. And the revamp involves basically monetizing a station space and also improving the consumer experience. Now, to me, for a public utility to come in and demonstrate two commercial principles, one, to monetize its space it owns, secondly, to improve your consumer experience, is, I think, a standout idea. Now, whether it works, they're able to execute, is a different story. But as of now, to me, it puts the spotlight on a new approach that public sector is evolving vis-a-vis the consumer. That is, improve your consumer experience before I charge you.
The next one on the list is quite interesting. The headline is very, does not really give out this whole story. That's why probably I like it personally. Sambar with Chana Dal, the challenges of pulses. Storage. It's not a surprise that you like it, but I would still like to hear from you.
Yeah, but to be honest, I'm not a big sambar fan. So I like this story because I think this reporter has been very innovative because this is a traditional story of cycle of pulses prices spiking. But this reporter has been smart enough. He's picked item in our food basket, which whether you're from Bengal, Kerala, North, East, West, whichever part of India, everybody eats dal in some form or the other. So which means if the prices go up, it hurts all of you. So in this case, they picked a South Indian, which is why probably you refer to me liking sambar. Yes, we, our families do eat sambar, but to them, make it in chana dal, it is sacrilege. So, I mean, it is a complete no-no. But because of the prices, many households are being faced with the prospect that they need to make it in chana dal. So to me, it resonated so well because it caught my attention and it captured the dilemma of an Indian household fighting inflation and how that basic needs they have to compromise on. Given tastes. We are all South Indians, so you are brought up eating sambar. So we have these tastes inherent in us and we have to compromise on the content purely because we are not able to cope with inflation.
That's true. About the next story on your list, this week for India has been a week of exits. The ITC chief Yogi Deveshwar stepping down was big for us. A profile of Yogi Deveshwar by Sandeep Khanna titled The House That Yogi Deveshwar Built features on your list of top favorites. So why do you like the story?
The headline hooked me. I think it's a great headline, The House Yogi Deveshwar Built. But behind the headline was the story. Because here is a man who actually did what the future of India is all about, which is what a rules-based regime. India has historically been an exception-based regime. Exactly why you ended up with crony capitalism and the likes of it. Now we are transiting to a rules-based regime. If you look at Aadhaar or you look at subsidy regime, whichever way we look, we are looking at the creation of a rules-based regime. In that, I see the example of a corporate India chief who actually put it in practice in his company when he took it over 20 years ago. So it's his kind of legacy, which in many ways is the future of this country, is why I took it up.
Yeah, and I would like to quote a little anecdote that Sandeep Khanna has mentioned in this story about Yogi Deveshwar, that it was actually his insight that small shops that sold cigarettes would also stock biscuits that actually catapulted ITC into the FMCG market. I mean, things like this, when I read this story, it was like, it was such a beautifully written piece that the man himself was brought alive in front of my eyes. So it's not a surprise again that this is in your top favorites for this week. The next story is actually quite a delicious one and the whole newsroom has been talking about it. It's called Meet the Biryani. And I'm not surprised it's on your list. But what is your reason for liking it?
First of all, apologies to vegetarians that we are going into territory that they don't tread on. But having said that, well, they don't know what they miss. And biryani is everybody's favorite. And here is a writer who actually picked this extremely wonderful subject and then spun a story about it, locking in her anecdotes, her childhood, about how at the age of 7, she actually stole money to buy a biryani, which was some favorite of hers, and her kind of passion for it. So in fact, when I tweeted this, I called it a wonderful tale of culinary lust, you know, and just to capture what this writer thought of. So to me, yes, the competition, yes, whether it's Hyderabadi biryani or a Mopla biryani, whichever. And by the way, I've eaten both, and I'm not able to decide like she did with certitude, which is better. I think I'll like to taste a few more before I decide.
But I'll be very partial. Have you tasted the Calcutta biryani?
Shiraz? Yes, I have. I've eaten Shiraz biryani, I've eaten Nizam's biryani, I've eaten Hyderabadi, I've eaten Mopla biryani. It's very difficult, you know, to say that I prefer one or the other. It's like a stiff competition out there, and like I said, I like to eat many, many more biryanis before I take a call.
Thank you, Anil, for sharing your top stories with us. So it's Friday already, and so what are you doing over the weekend?
First of all, I have to get over this very manic moment that Friday is all about, with the Brexit and now David Cameron quitting. Our newsroom is actually live wire right now, given all the hyperactivity. And once I'm done with that, this is the Euro is on, the Copa America is on. So it's a great weekend for football, and I hope to have a complete immersion moment of football
over
the weekend.
So you'll be following the Copa America?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the magic of Messi. I think I didn't see it live. The free kick that he took against America was out of the world. I haven't seen that kind of a free kick taken in a long, long time. So I look forward to Messi playing the final.
Okay, good luck to Argentina and Messi. And have a nice weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
So these were Anil's top stories for this week. Let us know what you think by emailing us at feedback@lifemint.com. You can also follow Life Mint on Twitter and Mint on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.